Starting a new series this morning on the names of Jesus Christ. Maybe you get the lights too. Very good. Can you see that all right? Okay. The names of Jesus Christ. It's going to be 17 sermons. We're going to go to the first week of April, Lord willing. And I have picked this verse to start off the series. This is not the verse we're going to look at. We're looking at many verses. But here, of course, we know this very famous words in the fourth gospel, John's Gospel, when it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In fact, we just sang that, "O come all ye faithful." We sang about how he's Word of the Father. You know, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth is going to pass away. My words will never pass away." And it's interesting here that this is a name that's given to identify Jesus Christ. He is the Word. Now, you know, we know that the Word is eternal. It is infallible. It is immortal, as Jesus said this. But isn't it interesting that you and I can read a verse of the Bible for 50 years, and then we can read a verse that we've read all of our lives, and we can see something new in it? Now, let me tell you something. It's not that you put something new in it. It's always been there. The point is that you have come to a certain point in your life. You don't live in a vacuum. You live in time and space. You go through experiences of life. And suddenly, this verse, which I call like a prism. You know, a prism is a piece of glass that's been cut in a certain way, and it gets certain shafts of light. And as you turn the glass, or as you turn, you see different beams of light. You can see different colors of light, orange or blue or yellow or clear. And so that's what God's Word is like. God's Word is like a prism. It's all this light inside of it. And as you go through life, you turn, and suddenly this verse says to you this. And the same verse 5 years later will say this. And a verse suddenly 20 years later, because you're in this circumstance of life, will say this, that you never saw before. Why? Because God's Word is eternal. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ is. He is the Word of God. He is like a prism in that sense. And for the next 17 weeks, we're going to look at and turn and go around and behold the person of Jesus Christ and look at 17 beams of light come forth from him. I always mention this whenever I do a study on the person of Christ. You know, many times people can really become very detailed. And this week I was looking at many words. I was looking up all the time the word name is used. It's used thousands of times in the Old Testament, of course. But it's very easy to dissect God. It's very easy to examine God almost like a science. And when you dissect God, you know what you get? A bloody mess. And many people have made shipwreck of their faith by trying to put God in a test tube or put God in their finite mind. And the one thing I always think about whenever I do a study like this or when I'm examining the scriptures, almost if I could say this scientifically, or not even scientifically, but almost minutely in dissecting the word, I always keep saying this to me, that God is a person. This is about a person. This is not a bunch of theological sentences. This is not an expression that we look at and examine. God is a person. And if you keep that in your mind, it will become very personal, very real, and very powerful. We're not examining the person of Jesus Christ to dissect him. We're beholding him as this glorious person with these 17 beams of light, as who he is, as we behold him as a prism, if I could say that. The verse that I've chosen, obviously, for this introduction, we're not looking at a word specifically this morning, we're going to do that starting next week, is this passage in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, where it talks about that although Jesus existed in the form of God, he was God, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Even though he was God, he didn't hold on to it like it was something that it was his right in that sense. It was his right. But it was not something that he did in a selfish way or in a self-interest way. But he emptied himself. He emptied himself. He took on the form of a bondservant. He was found in the likeness of human, of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Jesus, who was God, not only became a man. That's what Christmas is about. That's the miracle. That's the amazing fact of the incarnation, that God has become a man, not just a God, not just a great angel, but the Almighty has become man, Emmanuel, God with us. And so he even went to the point of dying for us, because if he didn't come and die for us, we would not be able to be brought back unto God. So he was willing to die for us. God would die. How could God die? That's another mystery. That's another unfathomable thing. The crucifixion, what was accomplished. He even went to that. Not my will be done, thy will be done. For this reason also, because of this, all that's been said by Paul, for this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So here he's been given a name, the name that is above every name. And what is the name that is above every name? The name of Jesus. The Jesus. The name of Jesus is above every name. And then he says that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's another name. That's another name. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Christ, the Messiah. You know, we sing that song by the Gaithers. There's something about that name, right? There is something about that name, Master, Savior. Oh, those are more names. He's my Master, that's his name. Savior, Jesus. Think how many people over the last 2,000 years has called upon the name of Jesus Christ. Think of it. Think of it. Think of all the people. Think of you and I. Think of our life. Think of all the saints that have gone before it. Think of the church. Think of this morning of people in Russia, in the Ukraine, in Israel, in South America. Think of all the languages that are calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew. Jesus the Messiah. Think of people who have called upon Jesus for strength. People who have called upon Jesus for wisdom. You need a job. You called upon Jesus' name. Open up this, Lord. You sinned, you called upon the name of Jesus. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Think of the name of Jesus that's above every name, that from every kindred tribe, in every situation, for mercy, for grace, for healing, for protection. All of this, calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. Remember in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached, and they said, "What must we do to be saved?" And he said, "Call upon the name of the Lord," right? Confess your sins. Call upon the name of the Lord, of Jesus. Now, as I have done this study this week, by the way, I've never preached this series. I've always wanted to preach this series, but I've never preached this series. So as I was doing my studying, I noticed very quickly that every time a name was used, or the word name is used, or the name of God, or the name of a situation was given, it usually fell under two categories. It had to do with a position of what the person is, a position they have, or a destiny of what they will do. The name always fit in, and that's very important, because that's what you need. You're going to hear this a lot this morning. It has always to do with a position, and also a destiny, what they will do and who they are. Now, so let's go to the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, when we're going to start to get names of things, it says this: "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over the earth, and let every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." You know, here he talks about, let us make man. You know what the word for man is in Hebrew? Adam. Adam, that's the Hebrew word. Let us make Adam in our image according to our likeness. And every time when you read the early narrative, we're going to look at a few other passages, Genesis 2:8, God always calls him the man, the Adam. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man. There it is again. He made him, he put him. He didn't say he made the garden and there Adam. No, he calls him Adam, the man, whom he had formed. Let's read on. Genesis 2:19. Out of the ground of the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that's what his name. Now, this is interesting. Now, he is giving a name. God is giving with this wisdom that Adam had before the fall to the man. He's saying to him, here are all these animals, and I'm giving them a name. And you give them the name. You know what the word hippopotamus means? It means water horse. Water horse. You know, that's what a hippopotamus is. You know that when we were in Africa and we saw hundreds of hippopotamuses, you know that they actually have walking trails in the bottom of these rivers they walk through? They have all these trails. They walk at the bottom. They go down for 8 minutes, they walk. Now, that's a big horse, you know. He's had too many Krispy Kreme donuts. But he's a four-leg, and he says, that's a walking horse, a water horse. That's a water horse. Not a horse, a water horse. And Adam had the wisdom that when he saw this, that's a pelican. You know what the word pelican means? That's a horse. That's a buffalo. All these words that Adam had, the knowledge that he had, he gave to these things. Now, let's read on. Then it says in the next verse, the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every field beast of the field. But for Adam, there finally he's given the name. And the name was his name as the man, because why was he given this name? Why didn't he get another name? Because of his position. He was the first man. He is Adam, the first man. Not the first man who got a name. He is in this position, the first man, and therefore now the writer, Moses, through the inspiration of God, gives him his name. He is Adam. There was not found a help suitable for him. Then we know now that there's a sleep that goes and there's not a helpmeet. Let's read on. This is in chapter 2. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib, that he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And man said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. So now there's a name, just a moment, you got to follow here. She is woman, taken from the man, but that was not her real name. Her real name was that now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she would be the mother of all the living. And you know what the word Eve means? The word Eve actually means giving of life, the mother of life. So this was her destiny. He was the first man in his position as Adam. She is not called woman. She is called a new name. And the new name has to do with what she will do. She is the mother of life. Her destiny as giving life to all the world in that sense. Be fruitful and multiply and plenish the earth in that sense. Let's read on. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have begotten or gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. You know what the word Cain means? The word Cain means to have the first birth. Gotten. So she said, this is your position. You're the first. You're the first gotten. That's what he says. I have gotten a man child. I have Cained a man child. I have Cained a man child. And his name was because of his position, his position, not what he would do, not what he would become, of who he was. Then, you know, Cain killed Abel, and then they prayed. Cain was ungodly. Abel was godly, brought righteousness, righteous offering. And then God gave a new son to replace Abel to be the godly line. And notice what it says, Genesis 4:25. And Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, for she said, God has pointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed Abel. You know what Seth means? Seth means the first seed. The seed. The seed. Notice, he has appointed me an offspring, a seed, who will replace Abel as the seed, as a godly line. And that was Abel's destiny, right? That's why he was named that, because you will be now the new seed. Cain was not, Abel was to be, he is not, and now you're not the firstborn, you're the seed that will bring forth this destiny. Now, that's the same thing in the life of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 1:21, you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The reason Jesus is called Jesus is because his name is related to his destiny. He is going to save his people from their sins. That's why you're giving him the name not Lord yet, not Messiah yet. He is given the name Yeshua, Yeshua, the Savior, to save. What is he saving? He will save his people from their sins. Jesus' name was given because of his destiny, what he would accomplish. But he's also given a name because of his position. Let's go back to the Philippians 2 passage, verse 8. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. But why? Because God has exalted him and given him a position. The reason every knee will bow is not just what he did, because of who he is. Sit thou at my right hand until I make the enemies the footstool of thy feet, right? You bow down to my son. Kiss the son, Psalm 2, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. That's a messianic psalm. All power and authority has been given unto me. You better bow down. The Father is given all power and authority. Why is Jesus called King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Because of his position. His position. His position. So in Jesus, it always relates to, and that's very important, because if you take away his position, what does it matter what he did? And if you take away what he did, even his position will not affect us and what he has done for us. So everything, all the names, these 17 names we're going to look at, will always be brought together in these two categories: the position of who he is and the destiny of what he did for you and me. Now, let me tell you something. That's not what my name's about. That's not my name. You know why people get a name now? Well, what are you going to name your child? You know, you're pregnant, you're going to have a child. Oh, I like the name Bob, Robert. I like Deborah. I like Madison. I like Bill. I like William. It's what you like. It has nothing to do with destiny. And actually, I'll let you know, my name is not really Sam. In fact, my name is not really Samuel. Sometimes when I do concerts, they presenting Samuel. My name is not Samuel. My real name is Simcha. And Simcha is a Hebrew word. And I was named after my grandfather, my father's father, who died in the Holocaust. The Nazis killed him in 1941. And so I never knew him, of course. I was born in 1950. And when I was born, my father named me after his father and Simcha. Now, my parents had just come to America. They were 5 months in America. They didn't know any English. They went to register my name as Simcha, and they were advised to try to understand that that's not a very common name. And no one knows that name. How do you even spell that name? So my parents said in their broken English, well, what sounds like that name? So they said, well, Sam. That's why I got the name Sam. My name is not Samuel. It is not Samuel on my birth certificate. It says Sam. But my real name was Simcha. Now, so my name has nothing to do with my destiny, of who I am, or what I become, or position, until I met Jesus Christ. When I met Jesus Christ, I got a new name. You know what that name is? Christian. Christian. I am one of Christ, and now I have a destiny. My destiny is in Christ. My destiny is to be with Christ. My destiny is to identify with Jesus Christ. When I became a Christian, I had a destiny. I have another name. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's another name I have. I am a new creation. Therefore, I have a destiny to be the new creation and to act like the new creation and to honor God as a new creation. That's a name I have. That's my destiny. That's your destiny. I have a name as a position. My name as a position is a pastor. That's a position I have. It's a position I have. And so as a pastor, that's a position I have. Not what I will do, but who I am. I married my wife, my Christian wife, and I became a Christian husband. That's a position. You see what I'm saying? That's a position of who I am. And therefore, in that position as a Christian husband, there are certain things that I have. I am a husband. I was not a husband before I was married, But in my position, when I had children, one of my daughters is here, she had a Christian father. I became a father. And that's my position. You see what I'm saying? It's my position of who I am and the destiny, which was not mine until in Christ, because that's what it is in having Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you how all of this works out in all the names of Jesus. Not all the names, but in a smattering of the names of Jesus. In Revelation 22 and verse 12, this is Jesus speaking. This is not referring to him. This is always the words of Jesus Christ. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and the beginning and the end. That's my position. Whether you like it or not, whether you vote for me or not, whether you agree or not, that's it. The cards are done. It's finished. I am the first and I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm from the beginning to the end. I'm everything in between. I'm all the circumference. I'm the world and the earth and the sky and the heaven and the food and the clouds and the fish. And I'm it. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end. Therefore, we go to another passage, Hebrews 12:2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's another name to Jesus. And that is because of his destiny. If he is the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and end, you know what he is? He's the origin of my faith. And he's the completion of my faith. He is that. That's who he is. Not his position of what he does. That's who he is. That's who he is. Jesus is the beginning and the middle and end of my faith. And I fix my eyes upon Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat at the right hand of the Father on high. Let's read to another one, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. That's my position. You need truth? I'm truth. Not I'm going to show you the truth. I am the truth. You need to know the way? I don't show you the way. I am the way. I am the way. You need life? I'm not going to show you life. I'm the life. That's his position. Therefore, 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. That's the name of Jesus. He is the chief shepherd. This is his destiny. Because of who he is, this is his destiny. Well, if he is the way, the truth, and the life, he's my shepherd. Not just the good shepherd in John chapter 10, he's the chief shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I will lead them, and no one will pluck them out of my hand. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Well, then this is the name of Jesus Christ. This is his destiny. He is my chief shepherd. I follow him. I look to him. I know that in his face and in his eyes is my best, my care. That's my destiny, as he is my chief shepherd. Why? Because he's the way, the truth, the life. Let's look at another one. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. I am the vine. All source comes from me. You need something? It comes from me. You are the branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's the position of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? In another name, Ephesians 1:22, and God put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet and gave him, Jesus, as head over all things to the church. If he is the vine and I'm the branches, you know what that means? He's the head of the church. The Pope's not the head of the church. You're not the head of the church. I'm not the head of the church. He's the head of the church. That's his destiny. Of who he is, of what he would be and do. The position is, I'm the first and last, the Alpha and the Omega. What does that mean? He's the author and finisher of my faith. That's one of the names we're going to look at. He's described that. We look unto Jesus, that prism. He's the author and perfecter and finisher of faith. Here is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. What does that mean? He is my chief shepherd. Chief shepherd who will lead me. What does it mean? I am the vine. Without me, you can do nothing. Then you're the head of the church. You're the head of the church. That's your destiny. Let me show you another picture of this with position. This is in Exodus chapter 20. And this is God has just brought the people to Mount Sinai. And Exodus 20, you know, is very famous because that's the Ten Commandments. You know how the Ten Commandments begin? It begins with these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You know what that is? That's a position. I am the Lord your God. That's it. Let's settle it right here. This is my position. I am the Lord your God. Therefore, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Therefore, you better honor my name. You better honor my name of my position. And he who takes my name and swears my name and disregards my name, I will not leave him unpunished. Not leave him unpunished. Let's understand this position of who I am. Remember when Jesus taught the people, disciples, how to pray? He said, then pray in this way, our Father who art in heaven, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Why is your name hallowed? Because he's our Father who is in heaven. Notice he doesn't say, hallowed be thy name after he's given us our daily bread. He doesn't say, hallowed be thy name after you forgive me of all my sins. He doesn't say, hallowed be thy name that you lead me not into temptation. No, because of your position, your position, let's get the matter straight. Hallowed be thy name. And so, my friend, one of the most glorious things we're going to have, you and I are going to have, is looking at this position. You know, that's why when Paul says, seek the things above where Christ is. I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you shall be also. The position of Jesus Christ, the position, who he is, the uniqueness of his person, the perfection of what he did, his work. But then let's look at another passage. This is a name with destiny. It's a very famous passage. We looked at this a year ago or so. This is in Genesis 17. And this is in verse 1. And this is God appearing to Abram. Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Now, remember that for a moment. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant was with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. You know what the word Abram means? The word Abram means the exalted father. That was a name given to him by Terah, his father. But when God gave Abram a new destiny, you are not just an exalted father. You're going to be the father of a multitude of nations. Kings will come from you. Nations will come from you. The world will come from you. The world of faith. The Messiah will come from you. The oracles of God will come from you. You are going to be a multitude of nations. And now it's your name because of your destiny. You got it? Your destiny. Your name is Abraham. Avraham. No longer Abram. And so here you see God changes a name because of the destiny of what he would ultimately accomplish. But the culmination of all of this is in Exodus chapter 3. This is God speaking to Moses. And you know, God was going to go and deliver, God was going to send Moses to deliver the people out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, and here is where you have a word never used before. These acronyms of four letters, Yahweh. I am that I am. I am who I am. And he said, this you will say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Who are you? He says, I'm it. There's none beside me. In my position of what I will do, of who I am, of all that I will accomplish, I am that I am. All that I am has sent me to you. Now, it's interesting. Sometimes this word eventually is rendered Lord. It's mentioned time. When the word is used again, they just repeat it as the Lord. But Read on, Exodus 3:15. Thus, furthermore, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. By the way, when it says the Lord there, that's Yahweh. The I am, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Now, he's never said that before. Never. And then a few chapters later, in Exodus 6, God further appeared to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord, Yahweh, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. Remember that? In Genesis 17, he appeared to Abraham. He says, I am God Almighty. You know what that name is? El Shaddai. El Shaddai. I am El Shaddai. I will protect you, Abraham. I will watch over you, Abraham. But to Moses, he said, look, but by my name, the Lord, I am that I am. I did not make myself known to them. So you go back to this passage in Genesis 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me, be blameless. But in Exodus chapter 3, he says, what is your name? What is your name? What is your name? I am that I am that I am that I am. Yahweh, Yahweh. Now, the powerful thing is that this is exactly the name that Jesus takes. Because in John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and to the leaders and the Pharisees, and they're having an argument and accusing him. And finally, Jesus just cuts the mustard and he says this, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, you know the word he is not in the original. If you have a good Bible, don't look it up now, but in my New American Standard Bible, if you look it up, the word he is in italics. It's to complete the thought, but it's not original. Jesus says, unless you believe that Yahweh, that's me, I am, you're going to die in your sins. If you don't believe who I am, my position, my destiny, you're going to fall on your sins and you're going to be cast away. And I'm going to say to you, depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you, into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Unless you believe I am. Let's read on. Jesus continues the same passage. Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, not he, that he is not there. And I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak the things as the Father has taught me. Let's read on. To the Jews said to him, John 8:57, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before there was an Abraham, before Abraham was born, I am. Hallelujah is right. This is the name that Jesus takes. And you know what the Jews knew? The Jews knew, you take the name of God? You, man, you're a man and you claim to be God? So the Jews did this. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, because the law said, if any man makes himself to be God, stone him to death. Stone him to death. And Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. And then, about 18 months later, Jesus is being arrested. And it says this, Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, they came with lanterns and torches, this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, with weapons. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, whom do you seek? They answered him, Jesus the Nazarene. And he said to them, I am, not he, the he is not there. I am. And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. So when he said to them, I am, they drew back and they fell to the ground. They drew back, and all Jesus did was for a moment, he opened up his shirt and he says, you want to see who I am? You want to see who I am? And they fell back. The human form couldn't take the unveiled human appearance of God. I am. They fell on their face. They fell back on the ground. My friend, that's why we're doing this study. That's why we're going to do this study. I've never preached this before. I'm really excited. That's why we're going to, every week, we're going to look at our Savior, the Lord, the King, the Messiah. And by the way, we're going to do it sort of seasonally. So I'm going to look at the next few ones that all have to do with Christmas. Emmanuel, Jesus, his birth, why his name Jesus. And then in the new year, it's going to be a new name given to Jesus. The new name. And so we're going to look for 17 weeks, every week, a new name of who he is, his position, the destiny of what he would do, how that, what that means to us, turning that prism and gasping, wow, oh, take your breath away. This is him. You know, in the book of Proverbs, at the very end of Proverbs, it says these words, the words of Agur, the son of Jechuk, the oracle, the man declares to Ithuel, to Ithuel and Ukal, this is what he's writing, surely I am more stupid than any man, and I do not have the understanding of a man. Neither have I learned wisdom, nor do I have the knowledge of the Holy One. He's saying, compared to God, I'm an idiot. I know nothing. Who has ascended into heaven and descended? Jesus quotes this because he ascended. Who has ascended into heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has wrapped the waters in his garment? Who has established the ends of the earth? What, can you see this on the bottom? What is his name and his son's name? Oh, wow. Who is this one who gathers the wind in his fist? Who is this one who lays the foundation of the earth? What is his name? And tell me, his son, what's his son's name? Imagine such a messianic word that God has a son. They called him Jesus. He came to give, live, give, and forgive. You know, he came to take my burden. An empty tomb is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lived, I can face tomorrow. Because who he is and what he's done. What is his name? What is his son's name? Surely, he writes it. Surely, you know. No one knew, but you know. You know what his name is? He's I am. I am. His name is Jesus. His name is the author and finisher of my faith. He is the cornerstone. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is my good shepherd. He's my chief shepherd. He is the head of the church. He's the lover of my soul. All of these names given to Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to explore, and that's what we're going to look at. And I encourage you as you come to, we come to the communion table, I encourage you to come and every Lord's Day morning, confess your sins to Jesus. Come to him with a clean hands and a pure heart. Say, Lord, show yourself to me. We would see Jesus. I want to see him new. I want to see him fresh. I want to see him more. I want to see him vibrant, alive, real of who he is. My friend, because you know, the point is, this is who he is. Whether you see it or not doesn't change who he is. That's why Paul says we see through a glass darkly. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered the mind of man what God has prepared for his children. And you know what God has prepared for his children? The presence of Jesus Christ. That's what heaven's going to be all about, my friend. Heaven is going to be all about Jesus Christ. All about him. Well, that's a little heaven on earth now. To open up this book and behold him and see him. And be lifted up to him. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, what a joy by your grace you give to us to be able to fellowship and study and communicate and commune with your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you that we do not live in a time when we don't know who he is or when he will come. But thank you that we live after the cross and the presence of your Holy Spirit and the completion of the revelation of God and the Word of God. And so, Lord, to whom much is given, much is required. Help us to take hold of these things. Help us to appreciate, to love your Son, to live for your Son, to serve your Son, to give to your Son, because he is worthy of it. Because of who he is, his position, and what he has done, his destiny, for each one of us personally. For each one of us personally. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. The men will come forward as we wait upon you for at the communion table.